You may be seated. The book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hope you had a good afternoon today. I took a little bit of a nap today, and I was glad I was able to do that. It's nice when you can take a nap, and then you feel better after the nap, isn't it? So I'm glad that I was able to do that. I hope you had a good Lord's Day, and we, of course, are dealing with the crowning service of the Lord's Day. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to note with me verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, you know, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we walk by faith, not by sight. And though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And if you remember last week, we were in Ephesians chapter 6, which tells us that we war against, wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness and high places. And so we are in a spiritual battle. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So we don't fight with swords and we don't fight with guns. We fight with the whole armor of God, which, as we saw last week, includes faith, it includes truth, and all of those things we mentioned. But we are mightily through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The word strongholds there is the idea of a fortress. And there are mighty towers spiritually that are up to destroy us. So he tells us in verse 5, this is what you do. You cast down, casting down imaginations. That has to do with reasoning. That has to do with your mind. And the idea of casting is the idea of throwing down. It's translated destroy in some cases. And we need to destroy those reasonings, those imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And there's a lot of things that are trying to vie for our attention. There's a lot of things that are trying to get our minds, trying to control our thinking. And he tells us that we have to bring them into captivity. So we got to capture them. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, every thought, we cannot let up in our thinking. It tells us in verse 6, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And so the scripture here is telling us that we need to be careful how we think. I wanted to preach a message this evening on avoiding the destruction of distractions. Avoiding the destruction of distractions. Now, let's just kind of walk through this a little bit. First of all, what is a distraction? Well, literally, it's a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something else. The Bible talks about a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James chapter 1 tells us. And that we got to be very, very careful that we do not allow things to distract us. You know, we get our eyes off that which we need to focus upon. And that can be a very dangerous thing. You know, here you are, you know, you have your cell phone. What's the big thing now? The advertisements, don't text and drive. Why? because you might find yourself in an accident. I was just probably a couple months ago, and it really scared me when I think about it. I was pulling out of our street. There's the Southern Baptist Church behind us there. So we're talking about Skyway Drive. And I forget what I was doing. I think I was reaching down and touching something or trying to look at something. And I knew in my mind, okay, and I get up that stop sign, I'm going to have to stop. And I was, in a sense, distracted. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't a text, I don't believe. And I was looking at this, and next thing I knew, I was halfway in the middle of the street, stopped. And I thought to myself, what if a car had been coming? Now, it's not a very busy street, so the likelihood of that would have been slim to very slim, but it could have happened. And when you make those kind of decisions, it can mean something that's very devastating to you. And I think it's important that we understand that. You know, some people are like that with the television. You know, they're so focused on the TV, they don't even notice anything else going on around them. So we can get so distracted. You know, Peter, if you go over to the book of Matthew, chapter 14, in Matthew chapter 14, I always remember the story when I'm thinking about things distracting us. In Matthew chapter 14, notice with me, verse 28. It tells us there that Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. And it tells us in verse 28, and Peter answered him, speaking about the Lord, where the Lord told him, don't be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come in on the water, come under the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he literally walked on water. Like, can you imagine that? And he started to go to Jesus. But, verse 30, when he got distracted, he saw the wind boisterous, and he became afraid, and he began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And so, you know, here he is walking to Jesus, and he looks at the winds and the waves, and he said, I can't believe I'm doing this. And it distracted him, and he started to sink. Now, I wouldn't try that, but I would say this, that, you know, if the Lord tells you to do something, you better keep your eyes on the Lord. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, verse 2, and we ought to be keeping our eyes on the Lord. And so when we get our focus off the Lord and start getting it on a lot of other things in our lives, we can find ourselves many times very distracted. Now, so that begs the question, okay, so what is it that we should be focusing on? We say focusing on the Lord. Well, let's look at some verses. Let's do a little bit of a Bible study here. The book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah 26. And one of my favorite verses tells us, in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Who's thee? Who? God. Because he trusteth in thee. Verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. We have to be focusing on the Lord. And we need to be paying attention to the Lord. And we should go through the day with our eyes on the Lord. And when we get our eyes off the Lord, we can be very distracted. Notice with me Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And of course, Psalm 119 is the psalm that is the longest, if you want to use the word chapter in the Bible. But Psalm 119, verse 165, tells us, it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So that's telling us here that if you keep your eyes on the law, or, of course, we know in Psalm 119, every verse, except for two or three, I believe, is speaking about what? The Bible. And when we have our eyes and our focus on the Bible, nothing offends us. Now, that's an interesting verse. That tells us that we're not going to be letting other things distract us. We've got our focus on the Word of God. Look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. And it tells us here that Jesus states, "There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So we need to have our focus on the lost, but not in the sense of Asaph. Remember Asaph in Psalm 73? When Asaph, when he looked at how good the unsaved had it, he began to complain because of how bad he had it. And it's important that we understand that, you know, if we're not careful, we can become jealous because we don't get to do what unbelievers get to do. And that's certainly a wrong focus. But what is Jesus talking about? Jesus is talking about the souls of men. We should keep our focus on the fact, you know, that person may look like they're having a lot of fun, and that person may seem like, boy, they're just living it up. But the reality is that person is lost. And if they die, they would go to hell. Yeah, have you ever been inside of a football stadium or something like that and it hits you? I wonder how many of these people are going to go to heaven when they die. See, that's what Jesus was saying. Get your focus on the fact that lost people are dying and they're going to hell. And he tells them that, you know, "Pray ye therefore," this is in Matthew, "that the Lord of harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." And be thinking, okay, how can we get the gospel to people? The book of Colossians, chapter 3. Colossians, chapter 3. We're told here something else that we should be focusing on. Chapter 3, verse 1. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are," where? "Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth." Verse 4, Christ is going to appear, and we have to be looking for that second coming. If any man has this hope, he what? Purifies himself, 1 John tells us. And so, what should we be focusing on? We should be focusing on heaven. We should be focusing on the fact that the Lord's coming back. Look over to the book of Philippians. Come back one book in Colossians. Philippians chapter 4 tells us in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are," what? "Truth." In other words, we should focus on truth. We should keep our eyes on that which is true. And the Bible tells us that. Now, it's fun sometimes to get into conspiracy theories and those kind of things. But I remember I was talking to Pastor Carsey's down in Oklahoma, and he was saying, he said, you know, I try to make sure that I don't let my mind go off into all kinds of things. I want to make sure I'm focusing on truth. He tells us in verse 8, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are what? Just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. So what should our focus should be on? It should be on things that are godly. And yet we are so distracted. How are we distracted? What kind of distractions are there? Well, if you go over to the book of Matthew, and I'm just taking you through some, the book of Mark. I'm taking you through some verses. In Mark chapter 4, in verse 17, Jesus, in talking about the parable of the sower, talks about distractions. And there are a lot of things that are distracting us. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. It tells us, regarding the seed, they had no root in themselves, but there are things such as affliction. Now, affliction and persecution, it says, offends the word. In other words, what distracts us? We get sick. We're suffering. We're going through trials. And if we're not very careful, we can get our focus on those things. And certainly, we have to deal with illness. We have to deal with sickness. But if we're not careful, we can allow ourselves to let that cause us to get our focus off the things such as God and His Word and the unsaved and heaven and godly things. Now, where's your mind been? That's the real question. Another thing he talks about is persecution. You know, sometimes people go after you. Now, Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, remember that? Blessed are the persecuted. Great is your reward in heaven. But yet, why is it that sometimes people come after us? As Christians, sometimes we're persecuted. As if we're some kind of religious nuts or something, because we trust the Bible. And then we're told in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as that as hear the word. What are they? Verse 19, the cares of the world. And we have cares, and we need to take care of things, whether it be our families, whether it be our finances. But the cares of this world can distract us. And if we're not careful, we can stay up through the night worrying about those things. It tells us there that there is the deceitfulness of riches. You know, got to make another buck. And we got to be able to get more money. That is a distraction. The lust of things, in verse 19, there are things that we just get ourselves all kinds of desires. I want this, and I want that, and I'd rather have this, and I'd rather not live here, and I'd rather be able to do this. And we can find ourselves totally distracted. And of course, what does it tell us there in verse 19? It choked the word. It will choke out God in His word in your life. And of course we could, and I won't take you there, but in Luke chapter 8, it tells us in verse 14, it also includes the pleasures of this life. And of course, we want to have things nice. We want to be able to enjoy the things that we have. But sometimes the pleasures of this life can distract us. This is why commercials are so effective. And people are thinking, man, if I had that weight program, man, I would be just like that person, 50 pounds lighter. Or if I had that car, man, just think how relaxing it would be. It parks itself. And if we're not careful, we can find ourselves totally distracted. And we cannot concentrate on the things that God tells us to concentrate because we are totally involved in these other things. You know, busyness can be something that's very distracting. And I got this to do, and I got that to do. And what does God tell us to do? Thou shalt be in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on God. If you have great love for God's Word, things don't offend you. If you would understand that lost people are going to hell, you might not be so tempted to want to be like them. If you just keep your focus on heaven, you know, you might be able to endure it just a little bit longer on this earth. And we ought to keep our focus on the things of the Lord. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, we need to, according to 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, cast down everything that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. We've got to destroy those things. Now, we're not saying destroy your car. We're not saying, you know, destroy people. We're not saying that you can always get rid of things, but you know, you can, if you're careful, you can say, I am not going to let that dominate my thinking. So, we need to kick ourselves into concentrating on the things of God. We need to make it a priority in our lives to establish proper habits. Now, habits are a funny thing, aren't they? You know, a habit is something you do without what? Thinking. Exactly. If I were to ask you which shoe you tie first, you may or may not know that. You know, when you get in your car, you automatically do a series of things. Maybe you put your key in, maybe you turn it, or maybe you put something that you have next to you, and you just kind of have a pattern in which you do things. You know, it's interesting, isn't it, how habits are hard to start and they're hard to break. And it's important that we understand the importance of habit. And we need to make it a priority. Now, I think it was Jay Adams that said that it takes about 3 weeks to start a new habit. And then it takes another 3 weeks, if I'm remembering right, to make that new habit your own, to the point where you do it without thinking. And what happens is many times is that people give up, people quit before they get into the right habit. So what are we talking about? Getting into the habit of thinking about God? Get into the habit about thinking about God's Word? Getting into the habit of recognizing that people are lost. Getting into the habit that one day it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Getting into the habit of seeing things that are true and just and right and honest and pure, virtuous. Now, how do you do that? It takes at least a amount of time, maybe 6 weeks, to establish a new habit. And this is why it's important that we develop, first of all, a habit of going to church. You know, you start breaking that habit of going to church, and it will devastate you. You know, it's good to see Leslie here tonight, and she's telling me she's from Minnesota. And, you know, why not just skip church for a while? You wouldn't have that, would you? So I don't even know her, but I know she came Sunday morning, Sunday night. See, the reason is because she has made it a practice to be in God's house when the doors are open. The Scripture tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the, what, manner of some is. Some people have gotten out of the habit. And certainly this is one of the big issues that's going on with this COVID-19, that people are getting out of the habit. Hey, I can just watch church online. And what we have to understand is that church is a wonderful place to remind us of the things of God. So what am I doing as a preacher? I'm trying to get you to focus on God, get you to focus on God's Word, to get you to focus on the fact that people need the Lord, to get you to focus on the fact that Christ is coming back and we need to be ready, to get you to focus on anything that's godly. And it's kind of funny, isn't it, how we can get our mind going in all kinds of direction and we come to church if we're paying attention. Now some people, they just bring their cell phones in and just continue the nonsense. Right? Not you, but other people. I mean, it's easy to do. People say, well, I have my Bible on my cell phone. Well, I hope you use it that way. But I know whenever I've done that, I'll get a text. Newsmax says, so-and-so's on tonight. This is the last thing that President Trump said. YouTube video, Biden's about to destroy your life. Now, I don't need that when I'm trying to get focused on the things of God. Or somebody sends me an email. Now, that is one of the devil's biggest tricks in the modern church. And if you're able to eliminate any of those distractions, that's great. But I know myself, I mean, if I were to show you my Bible, which I will do, but you won't be able to see it, I have verse 35 circled. I have the kingdom of God underlined. I have grain of a mustard seed underlined. I have unclean spirit underlined. And when he saw Jesus, I have that underlined. You know what I do? I will take notes like that. And maybe in my Bible reading or maybe in a sermon I hear or whatever it might be, I'm focusing on that so that when I'm reading through it, I'm saying, oh, okay, I remember that. You can't do, well, you could technically, you know, well, I can highlight as I use my Bible. I'd like to see anybody's highlighted Bible app. How many do that? Highlight your Bible app? Okay. Are you of the devil or not? I'm teasing you, Jennifer. I'm teasing her. But good, I'm glad you do. But to, you know, it's important to exercise the habit of then getting into God's Word. And I'm glad you do that. But if you didn't hear her, she said she doesn't do that in church. All I'm saying is there is a sense in which we have to get into a godly habit of eliminating distractions. You know, that's why if I was a church attender like I am now, you know where I'd probably be sitting? Where these folks are. Now, I'm not saying that you're all of the devil that is in the back. But you know why I don't like to sit in the back? Somebody gets up, walks out, this happens, that happens. I don't need to be distracted. There's enough in my mind to distract me. And so we have to kick ourselves into establishing the practice, the habit of concentrating on God. This is why in Psalm 119, verse 9 through 15, talks about meditating on God's Word. Why is meditation so important? Because that means I'm thinking about it. I'm not just reading past it. We need to be in the habit of getting and having our devotions. Of course, I emphasize that every year. Reading the Bible, praying to God. We need to get into the habit of listening to good music. See, I don't know about you. I don't know your past, but I know myself. Bad music comes across my mind all the time. And you know, the only way I can fight that is if I replace that with a good song. It's important that you get into the habit of choosing good media. Now, I think one of the biggest examples of meditation is what the mind does after you've watched, and let's just say, a good show. Nothing wrong with the show. But I know myself, I think about that and the plot and how this happened and how that happened. And before you know it, you're meditating on that. Now, if you're not careful, you're not going to be able to focus on the things of the Lord, especially when you are choking out God's Word with immoral stuff. And that's why it's important that we do get into the habit of meditating on God and our devotions and good music and good media. Let me take you to one more verse. It's in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, and notice what it tells us here in verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all what? Now that's talking about your mind. That's talking about your very inner being. Keep your heart with all what? Diligence. You know, it takes diligence. It takes the effort on your part to make it happen. Why? Because out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And it tells us here in verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, and remove thy foot from evil. So God is telling us that we need to be very, very careful about distractions that will destroy us. You know, I find myself sometimes very discouraged. You know what's usually happened? I've gotten distracted. I find that sometimes we get our minds off of things that really don't mean a whole lot, but yet they become very important to us. And it becomes a distraction. And God tells us that let your heart keep it in all diligence. Because in 2 Corinthians 10:5, he says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, years ago, I read a story, and one of the saddest stories I've read, it was a mother and her little girl were crossing the street. And they're standing there and traffic's going by. The mother was a little distracted by things. And the little girl said, you know, Mommy, is it okay to go now? Without paying attention, she said, yeah, go ahead. That little girl walked down to the street, hit by a car, and that mother lived with the consequence of her distraction. And folks, if we are not careful, there are consequences of our distraction that can devastate us through life. And we need to be very, very careful that we are not allowing ourselves to let the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for things and pleasures of this life, persecution, affliction. Let those things keep us from keeping our eyes on the Lord. Because you know why? It could have consequences for the rest of your life. Now, Lord, we ask that you would guide and direct us in our service tonight. Thank you so much for all that you teach us. We thank you for your word. Father, I ask that you would help us to get our attention on the things of God. Keep our attention on the things of your word. Get our attention on the fact that people are lost. Help us to keep our focus on the coming of Christ. And Lord, help us to focus on that which is true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtue. Help us, Lord. And Father, deliver us from the destruction of distractions. With our head bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Maybe God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you find yourself struggling because of something that's weighing heavily on your heart. And certainly God tells us that even in the midst of trials, we can count it all joy. And we can have the right perspective on the things of God. And as the pianist plays tonight, if God is dealing with you and you need to come and deal with the Lord, you come as the pianist plays.